You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sparky Fifer, 1250 AM, The Fan, along with Dwight Albrecht. Normally we have Phil Brilo with us, but no such luck today. He is in Vegas doing God knows what that people do in Vegas. Dwight, not really quite sure what that would be with Phil.
Right.
I've been there before with Phil, and it's a lot of fun. Joining us is Jeff Riggles from the 11thframe.com website. Jeff, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Always happy to be here, Sparky.
I always like picking your brain because you've been around forever and kind of getting your thoughts on things that are going on. What are your thoughts so far on the TV shows, the TV finals that we've seen to this point? I mean, they've definitely have had some star power with Tack and making show after show. Troop's been on several shows. What have you made of them?
Well, I think I've really enjoyed this year mostly because of that star power. Bill O'Neill, obviously, has to be included in that group. And you've just had such neat storylines. EJ's got five shows and hasn't won a title. And I believe it's just one match that he's won. And Kyle's been crazy up and down year, but he's got a couple wins. Bill seems to be there every week. And then you have Belmonte with just, you know, one show, I believe, and kind of had a struggle of a year by his standards. So there's so much going on. And then you get Boo Kroll last week on that wacky, crazy show, or actually 2 weeks ago, sorry, the last show. Wacky, crazy thing that was just so interesting to watch. Ugly, but interesting. And, I mean, there's been something for virtually everybody, and basically just had a lot of fascinating stuff happening. And the ratings have been very good, too.
Yeah, I like to see some of the young guys come through, like Benji Martinez, Kroll, the guys like that have to go through PTQs to make the show. It's a great story when that happens, just to kind of show the talent that's out there. What's your take also so far on the PBA League, just the little snippets that they show? I wish they would show a little bit more than just like a highlight. I know they're time-restrained.
Sure. Well, that's where you want to get Bull TV. And then you can sit and watch every single match. Plus, there are the ones that have been on FS1. There will be more. In fact, the very next official PBA show, I mean, there'll be the special All-Star shows this weekend, but the next official PBA show will be the PBA League from the Masters. And there's a lot of pretty interesting stuff going on there. I've found it very difficult to actually follow the PBA League when it's going on, because there's so much action all going on at the same time. You know, in the Bull TV at times, there's four matches going on at the same time. They've started doing staggered starts to kind of, so at least you can only watch two matches at a time, finishing at the same time. And when they're on FS1, you only get one match at a time. So it's a little bit easier to follow, but it can get wild when you're watching those Bull TV shows. There's so much stuff going on all at the same time. And it's hard, but if you're a bowling junkie, it's fantastic to see that. And I have no doubt that that they will continue with some sort of expanded PBA League next year. I think this has been a big success.
Yes, Jeff Riggles. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff Riggles. And, of course, with 11thframe.com, the website that he owns and operates and breaks stories on, does great in-depth interviews on. Definitely want to sign up and be a subscriber to that. Jeff, this All-Star weekend coming up that starts, you know, on the 15th here, 16th and 17th, and conjunction with NASCAR. What have you thought about that sponsorship with Go Bowling and the PBA Tour? And do you think it's, you know, working? Because obviously you're trying to grab some of those NASCAR fans.
Yeah, things like this, it can't hurt. NASCAR has big numbers, large numbers of fans. They're known for their loyalty to the the teams and the sponsors that they favor. So we need more of that type of loyalty in bowling. I think we'd do better retaining sponsors if our fans were as loyal to them as NASCAR's fans are to theirs. And, you know, it can never hurt to have the Chris Paul celebrity and that sort of thing. Now, the bowling purists are going to turn their noses up at that, and you don't necessarily have to watch if you're a bowling purist, but the idea is to reach beyond the bowling purists and grab some new fans. That is the whole point of these sort of events. And there is some stuff for bowling purists this weekend. If you like trick shots, you got those Friday night. But that Saturday show, I'm very intrigued to watch with the young guys, mm-hmm. the legends, and the hot stars of today, or legacy. The big stars of today. Yep. But, I mean, we haven't seen Norm Duke throw a shot in competition until the Masters two seasons ago. So who doesn't want to see that? You know, that, or since the PBA League ended two seasons ago, was actually his last competition. And he had said he was never going to throw a ball again, you know, but, and this isn't really competition. It is, but it's not official competition. But who doesn't want to see that? I mean, that's reason enough to tune in on Saturday. So, you know, I'm going to watch. I'm not going to write a lot about it, I don't think. But, you know, it's bowling on TV. There's never anything wrong with seeing the best in the world on TV, no matter what they're doing.
I'd love to tell you who suggested this to me, but I do not remember because I'm old and my memory sucks. but somebody suggested to me last week, I think it was last week, and said, you know, the NASCAR partnership is great, but why isn't there a partnership with golf, with the PGA Tour or LIV Golf or whatever you want to do, a partnership with golf? Because how many guys that bowl golf, how many guys that bowl watch golf, and that tie-in would make a lot of sense. And I had never thought about it, but that does make a lot of sense, especially when you consider the PGA and golf is pretty much done. You know, in the winter time and so forth. So prior to them kicking back off, it would be a great event with the PBA and them, like they're doing with NASCAR now, and then promoting ahead to the big next PGA event to start off the year or whatever the case may be. So it would work for them and it would work for you. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't argue with that. That would be a great question for Tom Clark that I've never asked him. I'll have to put that in my working list for our next Q&A because that is a pretty good one. And there are a lot of golfers who are really good bowlers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Historically, Woody Austin comes to mind real readily and has been at some PBA shows. And Mark Kelkovecchia, one of the best, you know, what does he have? Two majors, I think, in his career and a lot of titles. He's a real serious bowler. And close to a 200 average, the last I'd heard. And he has been at several PBA shows. I know lots of the pros are friends with both of those guys. And so, yeah, it makes sense. There are tie-ins through certain guys. Perhaps that has been approached, and the PGA maybe turned their nose up at it because they look down on bowling. I have no idea.
Well, they don't have time to look down on bowling now. They're fighting for their ever-loving lives. So
at this point,
the PGA needs to get some publicity any way they can. And again, yeah, you lost some of your big names to LIV Golf. I get it. But it would still be a good starting point, I think, for both to try and kick off that relationship.
Yeah, I would love that. I think that would be really cool.
Getting back to the PBA weekend with NASCAR, It would be great if we could see one of the pros try the famous Chris Barron's Flying Eagle on TV. That would be just awesome if one of the four or five guys could try to attempt to pull that off. That's what at least I would be watching for is that Flying Eagle shot.
Stay tuned.
Oh, there we go.
I saw, let me see. I think it actually was on Beef and Barnsey, the podcast. And I think Chris made a sort of obvious reference to that during the trick shot show that someone, Tommy Jones, had stolen his signature move or something along those lines. I caught it when I was listening. So I have a feeling you're going to get your wish and you're going to see the Flying Eagle at least attempted this weekend based on that. If not, then Chris was referencing something else. But I took it to be that Tommy was going to be trying to pull off the Flying Eagle, which is an amazing – it looks – 100 times harder than it is, but it is really hard. But it looks completely impossible, but when you do the physics and the math of it, it's not completely impossible as you might think, but it is one of the coolest things you could ever see.
Yeah, that is absolutely awesome. And again, that's the trick shots are Friday night. Saturday is the PBA Legacy Cup, yeah. Legends and Rising Stars. And then Sunday, the Go Bowling PBA NASCAR Invitational at Phoenix Raceway. I wanted to get your thoughts on something else because you see the ratings and we don't necessarily. Do you get the ratings breakdown like every in 15-minute segments for the TV show? Meaning when Kyle Troop gets eliminated, can you see what the ratings do after he gets eliminated on a TV show? Or after Tackett gets eliminated, can you see what the ratings do?
I get my stuff. It used to be a site that I can't remember, ShowBuzz Daily, I think. That disappeared. There's now another site that does sports ratings called SportsMediaWatch.com. That's where I get my numbers. They do not do 15-minute breakdowns. However, Tom gets the stuff, I assume, from Fox, Tom Clark. And if I really am interested, excuse me, I can, pester him and say, hey, what were the, the last 15 minutes where it's, say, the title match? Like, famously, if you recall, the Duke Simonson USBC Masters title show 2 years ago, that was the last real PBA Tour competition, not counting the league, that involved Norm. That show got a really good rating, and it was mostly because the last, 15-minute segment was an astronomical by bowling standards ratings of like 1.7. I wrote it. Tom gave it to me, and it's in my story. I'd have to look it up. I think it was like 1.7 million in the last 15 minutes, which is a really extraordinary number for bowling. As I remember, 2010 Kulik's TOC win was like the most that there's been this century, and that was like 1.8 million or something like that. So, yes, Tom gets those, and if I really want to pester him, I'm sure you could hit him up with a message if you were really curious about something, and he could tell you. I think that the last show, no offense to some of the people that were on there, but not having, having Boog in the title match, and another, non-winners in the title match after Bill was eliminated, perhaps it went down. It was against the Caitlin Clark. Last hour was against Caitlin Clark. And that was an astronomical rating. So I would be very curious, and I should have done that, but I just didn't have the time to go pestering Tom. The 15-minute breakdowns for 2 hours of that show, to me, would have been more interesting. It still got a really good rating based on the last few years, but it was the lowest FS1 show this year because we've had really, really strong ratings on FS1 for PBA this year. And this was the lowest one, but it still was not that far off the last couple of years' highest one. So it was still a good rating. But that's one where I'd be really curious to see how it went match by match, looking at the names that were on the show and also when it ran into how many people flipped over at 1 o'clock when Caitlin Clark game started, because that got I think I saw that was the highest rated women's basketball show in 25 years or something like that. Back when we only had a few channels. So
yeah, no doubt about it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
One hot button topic I've been loving to get your take on, Jeff, is strain bowling, especially up in the Madison area. One of our local proprietors, Stefan Honan, is going to be putting them in at Foxview in May. I'm looking forward to that. Since that show has hit on the radio station here, we have had hundreds of people coming into the shop because they know now what's coming, freaking out over it. Last time we had you on the show, you made a comment that The USBC got it right, certifying it for strain bowling. What's the take in the proprietors in the Madison area? I mean, you got a couple of beautiful centers up in Madison with a lot of lanes. Any talk for the proprietors up there thinking about or going towards strain machines?
I have heard none. I did interview Robbie Spigner when his company bought Boulevard and Prairie Lanes. And he said they're looking at strings. Everyone is looking at it. If you're a proprietor and you're not looking at it, you're a dumb businessman. I mean, it's an inevitability that this is going to be where bowling goes. I think the economics are just way, way too much. And I think at some point, the people that stay with free fall traditional pin setters are going to use that as a marketing viewpoint. Come and bowl real bowling. Because eventually, and this will probably be after we're gone, the majority of the centers will be strings at some point, and then it'll be come and bowl, real bowling will be the marketing. But for all the people freaking out, stop watching videos on YouTube or Facebook or wherever. All those string videos almost invariably are the carnival strings. They have nothing to do with what happens on certified string machines. That's where I praise Chad, which I don't often do, and USBC, because they got it. They saw what was coming, got in front of this, and made sure that there was standards and a certified string system that is not that far off from real bowling. Take an open mind, as I did. I hate those carnival ones. I would quit bowling before I bowl on carnival ones, for sure. But I, in Florida, went to a center last summer with the certified ones. I didn't have bowling balls with me because we had no space in our car to take them, but I watched people bowl on them. I got in the back as the pins went through. I was very surprised by how close it was. And I bowled at that spare time center, the new one in Madison, that's purely recreational. It's not certified, but the only difference is there are two pins within their systems. There, the strings are not the correct length. It would take nothing to fix them. And it's a long story for why they're not, excuse me, but I bowled on those. And even with those two strings being not quite up to par, I was astounded by how close it was to real bowling.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I bowled on the spare time ones in Iowa when we were in Iowa. Right, there was
those
one.
Those were carnival ones. How old is that center?
I have no idea. I bowled there, what was it, last summer, I think it was?
Yes,
last
summer. I will guarantee you that those were the carnival ones.
Because they were the ones that told me Madison was coming, and Madison wasn't open yet. Madison opened what, this last fall or whatever the case was? So I bowled on those, and again, I mean, the pins were like literally just falling down, and then they'd have to go back up and then come back down and all of that stuff. And I was texting with Dwight and Phil at that point because none of the three of us had ever bowled on them. And I was like, I mean, and again, you're saying those are the USBC certified ones, which I understand that, and that's fine. But if there is some of that going on, if that is not completely fixed and they're just going to fall down and then have to be pulled back up and stuff like that, people are going to get frustrated. But even with that being said, I'm wondering what it will take to get these guys to go in. I was telling Stefan, if I were you, and you know these are coming, and I think he said they're going to be up in May.
Yep.
If I were you, I'd offer some type of huge discount to anybody that bowls Fall League and come and bowl Summer League here. And I'm not going to charge you hardly anything, $5, whatever it may be.
Just to cover
the mileage.
I want
you to come test it out because, you know, he's got some of his high bowler leagues that are, you know, really good bowlers that are threatening to all walk out and go somewhere else. Let them bowl on them, and then if they don't want to bowl there, fine. But at least give them an opportunity to do it before they leave.
Yeah, exactly. You're 100% on Spark there, Sparky. It's just perfect what you're saying. My idea, I've already talked to Steven a few times, is after he gets them in, I'm going to recruit a few high-level bowlers. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to say, let's bowl. Mm-hmm. And then give me an honest opinion of what you think of them. If you hate them, that's fine. I'll write that. If I hate them, I'll write that. But I'm going to go into it with an open mind and say, hey, let's bowl on these. Let's see what it's like. How close is it? We should take into account EJ Tackett at their center. They are going to string pin setters certified ones. Now, here's the best bowler, arguably, you know, for sure one of the best three bowlers in the entire world. He's turning his center to strings. Economics is in play. And what he did is really smart. They had a pair that they took, one and two, at their center, and they put the certified machines in a few weeks ago. And they're letting all their bowlers bowl free on it, all their league bowlers, as much as they want, all the way through, so they all know what it's like before leagues start next year. They'll all have the chance to experience it. Now, if the market completely says, forget it, I'm not doing that, then we'll have a quick halt to the spring pin setter chain. But if it really isn't that much different, as I've seen, at least for leagues, you know, and local tournaments and that, maybe not the PBA, but for that, you know, then this is going to go forward. And again, I'll say what I've said 100 times. If you're in a little town in the middle of Wisconsin and you have an 8-lane center that's closed or closed on you, but it with strings, it's economically viable to reopen that thing or build a new one, well, then your choice is you have a bowling center with strings that are certified or you don't have bowling. What's your choice?
Yep.
To me, that's a pretty easy choice. Now, if I'm in a big city and I can go across town to the other center that has free fall, well, that would be my choice personally. But, you know, that's everyone's going to have to make that choice, and ultimately the market will decide.
The thing that I say to my customers when they come in complaining about it, I'm like, well, you can go ahead and leave, but I'll guarantee you there's teams that are out there that are going to want to try them. So, yeah. I mean, they'll fill the leagues if the other ones are not going to stay. But my other comment is eventually everyone's going to have them. The shortage of mechanics, I used to be one, as Josh Blanchard said, is impossible to find.
Yep.
So it is going to have to end up being something that the bowlers eventually will have to accept. And the videos I've seen on the certified strains, I can't tell the difference between them either.
Yeah, you have to. I just can't stress enough to people that are losing their minds over this. Stop watching garbage videos on YouTube or yep. wherever that show the carnivals. Find a certified center if you can. There's one in the Chicago area. I think it's Plainfield, South Chicago suburb. The one in Madison is pretty close. Steven's going to have his. Go and bowl on those and judge for yourself and experience it. If you still hate it, great. Quit or move to another center. But have an open mind and make your own judgment.
Jeff, what can people find at 11thframe.com right now?
Oh, boy. I've had all kinds of fun stuff this week. I had a bowling historian, Eric Hartman, yesterday. I put up a history data set you can't believe of the PBA PTQs since 2004-2005. And earlier this week, I posted another story of the true original two-hander in PBA competition, a guy who was a two-hander named Mike DeGroote, who won a PBA regional in 1983, I think it was, or maybe it was 85. And then that was 2 years before Chuck Landy won regionals. Mike DeGroote never bowled on the PBA Tour, but Chuck Landy was the first PBA Tour two-hander. So long ago. Hmm. So there was two-handed bowlers in the PBA winning regionals 40 years ago, and I found one even before Chuck Landy. So that's been some of the stuff I've been doing in my in sitting around here.
That's awesome. He is, again, make sure to check out Jeff Riggles, 11thframe.com. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff Riggles. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Always, Sparky, anytime.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Jeff Riggles on the Spare Time Bowling Show. Don't forget, you can download and listen to the Spare Time Bowling Show on your Odyssey app, where you download and listen to your favorite podcast at. Coming up next, I had a chance earlier to sit down with Zach Harris, who's a freelance writer who wrote a piece on Simo back in January on Anthony Simonson. And it is a great piece. You can find it online on the Rolling Stone website. It's very well done. It dives into his childhood and what it was like being raised by a couple of parents that, you know, maybe not around as much. And when they were around, they were at the bar, at the bowling alley. So definitely give that a read if you haven't yet. And you'll hear from Zach Harris coming up next right here on the Spare Time Bowling Show. See Sparky Fiverr, 1250 AM, The Fan, part of the Spare Time Bowling Podcast. Now joining us is Zach Harris of Rolling Stone. And I know what you're thinking. Why do you have somebody on from Rolling Stone when we talk about bowling on this podcast? That's a damn good question. And that's what I want to ask Zach Harris. How does somebody that writes for Rolling Stone end up covering the PBA Tour and writing an excellent piece on Anthony Simonson?
So to clarify first, I'm a freelance writer. I'm not actually on staff at Rolling Stone.
So Rolling Stone picked it up because it was so good and put it in their magazine.
Well, I pitched them first, and they paid for me to go do it. Yeah,
nice.
Totally.
Yeah. So Rolling Stone gets credit still, you know, as part of this.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, so, I mean, I'm a bowler myself, and I mean, if you are a fan of the PBA, you know that Anthony's story is not only special in his bowling talent and his records as it comes to majors and tournaments in general, but his, you know, youth and story in general was pretty interesting from just a sports story and culture story perspective. And, you know, the guys at Rolling Stone agreed. And so that sent me to Vegas to kind of hang out with them for a few days and tell a story.
What kind of connection have you had with the PBA Tour prior to writing this story? Have you gone to the TV tapings or
just as a fan.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is good. So this is probably eye-opening across the board that not only just Anthony Simon, but also kind of being around some of these other PBA guys as you went. When we talk about this piece on Anthony Simonson, we had him on earlier in the season on the Spare Time Bowling podcast. We've had him on a couple of times. He is, I guess using the term black hat is something that I would use for NASCAR, you know, back in the day, Jeff Gordon or Kyle Busch more recently or somebody like that. And I guess I was second guessing whether or not I thought Simonson had kind of reached that level with fans. But as you point out in your story, if you don't think fans dislike him, just look at the comments section. And I guess there are a bunch of people that don't like the dude. He doesn't really bother me as much, mainly because probably I was kind of a hothead when I used to bowl back in the day as well. So maybe I kind of get along and understand where he's coming from. But that anger that he has is because of the competitive nature that he has, right?
Yeah, I mean, coming through to me, it seemed like it wasn't as much anger as just like drive to win, and how much in sports outside of bowling we see that so commonly as coming out as aggression and as just whether it be yelling or swearing or whatever antics, kicking ball returns. But in bowling, it seems like it's such a gentlemanly focused sport that people get upset at that where they might not in other sports.
And again, everybody has to remember that aren't old enough. Pete Weber probably did far worse things as far as tearing up locker rooms and so forth back in the day when he was 18 and on the tour. And everybody, you know, couldn't stand Pete Weber back then and obviously turned into one of the greatest bowlers of all time. And I've not heard any stories of Simonson wrecking locker rooms or doing anything even close to that.
No, and I think it was mentioned, didn't quite make the story, but, you know, no one ever hears about the stories of the guys who finished 130th and did something to act like a jerk.
Correct.
You only hear about it if you're finishing top five every tournament. And that's, you know, it's the double-edged swords of sports superstardom. And I think that's what draws people positively or negatively to a guy like Simo, the same way with Thoma, or the same way with, I mean, EJ a little less, but Troop, you know, I mean, people love you or hate you for reasons outside of actual what you're doing on the lane.
But if you're going to be a star in any sport, there has to be some of both. If the reply from a fan is, yeah, he's all right. If that's the reply, then you're not going to reach stardom at any point in your life. It's over. You don't have that personality to kind of draw people in one way or the other. And like you mentioned, Troop has the look. He's got the personality. He's got the bloodlines that lets him, you know, go out and be the face of the tour, one of the faces of the tour. Simonson maybe didn't have all the bloodlines, everything that goes along with it, but because he was so dominant and so good at such an early age, kind of put him at the forefront of the sport much earlier on than most other people. But then when you read your story in Rolling Stone, you're kind of just crushed to find out what his childhood was like and how tough that dude really had it with, you know, parents that were kind of not around nearly as much as, you know, you would hope to, and kind of spent his life being raised in a bowling alley.
Yeah, and I think it's those kind of stories of, I mean, which was, I think they, has as the tagline of the story, was, well, he's going to be the face of the league whether he wants to or not. And you can kind of tell that he doesn't like doing the interviews and stuff.
Yes.
And that's fine, but when you win at that level and your story is that compelling, people want to know more. And when you are mysterious, it only makes people want to learn more about you, especially in an age where everyone does everything on social media for public consumption. When you hold things back, you only make people more interested.
How emotional did he get telling you all of this about, you know, Barrett's sitting at the bar having some Miller Lights or whatever the case may be while he's out there bowling and doing whatever, and then not going to school for, what, a majority of high school. He didn't go to school. He was a high school dropout. I mean, that type of stuff is just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely, I went out there, he's 27 now, but I was out in Vegas when he was still 26, I guess. And I mean, yeah, he is certainly older than his years would give, but I don't know if it was quite as like emotionally breaking down. I think he's got to a point now where he's, you know, at a point where he can look back and see what he's come from and what he's become. And, you know, he still sees that his parents tried as hard as they could and sees what his brother went through and sees the people around him who helped him survive. And I think he's in a good place now, despite how hard it took to get there.
In the beginning of that story, you made it seem like, when I was reading it, that he was kind of at some just random league bowling night with some friends and ended up bowling on said friend's team. Is support system around him, do you feel like that's in a pretty good place?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, when I was out there in Vegas, he was constantly surrounded by people who care about him and who he cares about. He lives with his girlfriend, and he's, like you said, he's got buddies asking him to bowl a random amateur tournament that he likes enough to want to go out of his way to go bowl with them. And his guys at the compound where he practices, his buddy who's a pro poker player who owns a house with a couple lanes in it, those guys love him and he loves them. And we saw them a couple times while I was out there. No, his support system seems great right now.
So you did not get to go to the compound? He wouldn't let you in the house to see the lanes?
No, we bowled for a little while. I went there a couple times.
Nice. All right. So explain to everybody how that whole relationship, I guess, got started.
I mean, living in Vegas, right? You meet some interesting people, it seems like. And he and Chris Hunichin, who's the poker player who owns the house, met through a mutual friend and then just became fast friends. And because he had this house with two lanes in it, especially during the pandemic when it seemed like most things were shut down. And then Simo departed from the Nerd, which was the bowling center that he had a part ownership stake in. And it was just like, you know, it made sense as a place to go bowl because it's his buddy's house. And I know it's a wild house, but yeah, no, it seems like a very interesting situation. As far as I like how on TV shows, when they mention people's home lanes, they're all pretty standard centers around the country until it gets to Simo, where it's the compound, his buddy's house.
You know, the other thing about this, I wonder that he probably likes it a lot, is the fact that it's not in public. Right. I mean, he can bowl and without having to be worried about, you know, fans coming up and asking for autographs and taking pictures. And, you know, you pointed out in the story that he took some pictures with some people when he was bowling with his buddies or whatever. So I don't think he's necessarily opposed to it, but it makes things a lot easier to focus.
Yeah. One, you know, it was an amateur tournament, but it was certainly a tournament. And so it was guys who bowl and guys who knew who he was clearly and who he was taking photos with. But yeah, when it comes to practice, I think he is very happy to just be in a zone where he can find some zen, and I think that definitely does help at his buddy's house.
Talking with Zach Harris here on the Spare Time Bowling Show podcast. Again, wrote a great piece back in January on Anthony Simonson up at the Rolling Stone website. And you're a bowler yourself, and you pointed out in there that TV rates were up last year 15%, and they got their new deal with Fox. And that Fox deal, as we talked about, was a landmark-type deal and really changed – you know, the trajectory, I guess, of the PBA Tour getting away from ESPN and getting to Fox and being able to be on Big Daddy Fox for some of these tournaments, too. And the commissioner of the PBA lives right here, just a few minutes from the radio station where I'm at, about half hour, 40 minutes away. So I've known him for years as well. In your mind, what's the next step? Like, what's the next point in the journey for the PBA that, you know, you get to? I don't know if Anthony Simonson walking around Vegas is going to be noticed that much. Kyle Troop might, if his hair is up in the whole deal. I don't know about Simonson. I don't know about EJ Tackett and these other guys.
I don't think you need to push it at that level yet. I think it's still a connection between, I think personally what I see is a country full of league bowlers who don't like the PBA enough. And those are the guys that you have to be able to attract to the league first before you can get people who don't bowl at all, right? And if we don't have like everyone in every sanctioned league in America hyped on the PBA, how are you going to get the guys who don't even bowl?
You know, that's the thing for me, and we complain about a lot, is you have all these bowling leagues around the country, like you point out, and then when the PBA is on a given night, and they have an opportunity to have it on in their center, none of these centers actually put the PBA tour even on in the centers, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. No, and I think it's on a really good track, and I see younger, cooler people bowling all the time. I mean, in my Tuesday night league, I've got a teammate who's a pro skateboarder. I've got guys on the other team who own, like, the coolest clothing companies in Philly. I mean, cool people are bowling. I think it's on the right track. But I think with the PBA itself, it's just going to have to be more time.
Do you like the alignment that they've formed with NASCAR? I mean, they had the alignment with Chris Paul for a while. Do you like the alignment now that Go Bowling is a sponsor of a cup car, and now they have, this All-Star weekend coming up as well, that they're going to be in bed with some NASCAR drivers. I think it's good cross-promotion. I don't know if there's a huge amount of NASCAR fans that are bowling fans, but there very well might be.
Yeah, I personally am not a NASCAR guy. Also, not a WWE guy, which was the last crossover, too. And so those don't really get me. I think golf would hopefully be the next one that makes sense when you've got guys like EJ. And you know what I mean? There's a real – it seems like there's a closer connection there. You get Pete out on a golf course, I'm sure there's jokes to be made. You know what I mean?
Yes, no doubt. I had not thought about the PGA Tour. But that makes a lot of sense, no doubt. And, because, again, a lot of times when these guys are golfing, that's kind of their downtime anyhow. Or when these guys are bowling, it's kind of their downtime anyhow, where you'd be able to have that crossover and have some type of fun weekend involving both. It would be really cool if you could see, the PBA Tour maybe go somewhere they haven't been yet. Maybe you go do something in Hawaii and do a crossover with some golfers on one of the golf courses in Hawaii.
I was going to say, I do like all the old footage of setting up lanes in more random places.
Yes.
Like what they did at Miller Park in Milwaukee.
Correct.
Right?
I was there. Ago. Yep. I bowled there. Yep.
I think, if you could convince Mookie to get that done at Chavez Ravine in LA.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? Doing something fun where it's like, now that we have social media, things like that would get a lot more eyes.
Hey, I've heard some rumblings from one person, not associated with the PBA Tour. Somebody just tweeted out at me and said, that there might be something coming with Netflix and the PBA Tour. Have you heard anything about that?
I mean, I certainly heard rumblings about that during the first 2 weeks of the season, that there's guys out, I think it was at the first two majors of the year, doing documentary-style interviews and filming.
Nice.
And miking people up. And so then I think the next step was to try and sell it to someone like a Netflix.
That would be awesome. That would be very cool
to see.
And
I think that would be huge. Yeah, I mean, the same way that, F1. No one knew anything about F1. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it definitely helped blow F1 up. No question, at least in this country. I mean, F1 was popular around the world, but not maybe as much here. And part of that is because, they race super early in the morning because of time difference and so forth, and it's just hard to watch it as much as you might want to. Zach Harris.
But it's so easy to narrativize.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's what we need with bowling, is a real narrative that people can see. I think that is the next, real step.
Yeah, I totally agree. He is Zach Harris, freelance writer. Great piece on Anthony Simonson up on the Rolling Stone website. Zach, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.